Law Against Crime is the title of today's message, taken from Exodus chapter 21 and verse 22 to 36. We begin with this study to understand how God's laws may be applied in the world around us. And we are not surprised to realize that the laws of God are actually embedded in the laws of our land. And we thank God for these biblical principles by which we understand that they come from Thee, and deviations of it, we also will know what is Thy will for us and what is the blessed way by which a nation may be exhorted. O Lord, so we thank God that He has showed us and taught us by His good laws. We began this chapter by delineating the role of masters, the responsibilities towards servants, how servants are, well, the weaker ones having to labor for their masters, and how they needed to be thoughtfully cared for by their masters, for they are made, or God has created them too in His image, and they are precious in the sight of God, and God shows His special care for them through His word. And we are comforted that God provides us with the wisdom how we may treat the people around us, what we ought to do that is right in the sight of God, so that the world that we live in will be indeed a God-honoring and peaceful world for His honor and glory. And we also saw from the Word of God how we are told that there are certain crimes which are very serious, in which a man's life may be lost for whatever reasons, and the law of God teaches us how important it is that there would be proper restitution. Genesis 9 verse 5 and 6 says, Surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require, at the hand of men, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of men. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by men shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made He man. And we have seen how the text is arranged, from the more serious crimes that we have observed that requires capital punishment, a life for a life, to the less serious ones as a result of negligence. Well, the punishment is not as serious. Nevertheless, there was a need to make equitable judgment, and the Lord shows us the wisdom how this ought to be done. Verse 22 of our text in Exodus chapter 21, brings us to this first case. It says here, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, he shall pay as the judges determine. So here you have a situation whereby someone was hurt, an innocent bystander. And what does the law of God teach concerning the one who was hurt as a result of some violent action by someone nearby? Well, here is with regard to a pregnant woman, a case, a situation that is not uncommon, that we see around us. And so if two men fight and there is someone who walked by, and this person who walked by was a pregnant woman, and she was hurt as a result of the violence that took place between the man who was striving one with another. Here our text tells us that if the woman did not suffer a serious hurt, that is death, or it did not affect the child, then there will be a compensation that the striver, the man who hurt as a result of their negligence, as a result of their violence, will have to pay in compensation to the pregnant woman, according to the woman's husband who would lay this charge upon him, upon them. And he shall pay as the judge determines. So here you see the discretion of the judge to make good what had been lost as a result of that action. Verse 23 says, and if any mischief follow, in other words, if the woman were to die or the child were to die in the womb, then thou shalt give life for life. Here, when the woman was struck, as one commentator observed, he says it induced labor, and there is an obvious risk of injury, even death, to both mother and child. And so there was a serious injury to either one of them, then the man who caused it would deserve strict justice. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And here, but if the woman and the mother survived, then the man still needed to pay a fine, as it is determined by the judge. And this rash and violent act that threatened two vulnerable lives in society. So you realize that God seeks to have order in His kingdom, in His realm, in the realm of His rule. And He gives these good laws in order that the weak would be taken care of. So the law demanded a fine to show that the weak deserve that special care. And as you think about this, right, why is it that God would hold the man responsible when the damage was not intentional? Well, here, when they were fighting, right, they never intend to cause a miscarriage of someone who just was walking by. But as far as the Lord is concerned, what went on went out of line. It was out of control. And someone gets hurt. So if someone gets hurt, then the person is guilty before God. And this commentator commented, he says, this can be applied today to a drunk who gets behind the wheel of an automobile and someone gets hurt, or to a father who loses his temper and strikes his children in anger. And after that, they said, I didn't mean it, but something happened. Whether you mean it or not, you did it, and you have to make things right. And so here is given this special protection that the common man, common woman in the street deserves, and God ensures that there is such protection. And the law of God also imposed strict penalties on anyone who caused harm to an unborn child. In other words, here, when this example is being cited, we are speaking about a child that is still in the womb. And if there is injury to the unborn child, then damage has to be paid. And if there is death, then a life has to pay for that life. And so, to put it very bluntly, this commentator observed well. He says that performing an abortion is an act of murder. Before, abortion was a practice that clinically, we said, could be done. It is dangerous to have an abortion. It can cost the life of the woman who is aborting the child. And so, before that, before it was made clinically possible, it was not a practice that is done easily, because lives are involved. But when this was done, right, you realize that it became something that allows a life in the soul, or a soul in the womb, to be taken away just like that. Right, we realize that a soul that is in the womb is precious in the sight of God. At the time of conception, this is life that God has given, and this life is precious, and whoever who performs an abortion is tantamount to murder, isn't it? And so here, the Lord wants us to understand and know, and how God provides special care and gives special attention to the child that is ripped in the mother's womb. And here we see why, right, we said that we are made in the image of God. The unborn child that is in the womb is made in the image of God. God has given that little fetus life, and it is our responsibility to protect that life, because it is in the will of God that such a life be protected. And so here, you see in verse 23, the mischief that would follow that requires a life for a life. Verse 24, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his mate, that it perish, he shall let him go free from under his eyes. Here we would see how the law is to be applied in a situation whereby someone who is a master, right, had a servant, and he was violent towards that servant and causes harm to that servant, so that servant loses the eye, or the servant loses the tooth. Verse 27 tells us, and if he smite out his man's servant's tooth or his maid servant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. Remember, we say that in Israel, well, God allows, right, a man who is in debt to have his debt paid, and he goes to another home to serve in that home. And the matter is this, that perhaps in that home there will be greater order, so that that man who is in debt would be able by his labor to pay off his debt, and with the paying off of his debt he would become a free man after 6 years of labor. On his seventh year he would go free. And we also said that God's law requires that the master would make sure that the servant goes off well equipped to continue, carry on with life. That's the law of God that is taught to us, how we are to treat servants. And so here, as you think about it, we realize that if God were not to teach us, how would we know what to do? But God did not leave us without wisdom, without understanding, without knowledge, but he gives us his laws, these principles by which we may be able to learn and do that which is right in the sight of God. You remember in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17, Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So these laws would be doctrines that are taught, showing us what we ought to do. And if we have not been doing what we ought to do, as the Word of God shows us, then the Word of God says then Paul says that as we read it, it would show some red flag in our conscience, isn't it? That we would be reproved for the way we act. And then the Word of God also says that we are to repent when we are reproved, so that we would be corrected. We would do the right thing. And instruction in righteousness, the fourth part, that we would know what is the right thing to do, to the right way by which you are to compensate, to do the right thing. So here the Word of God tells us, if he smite his manservant and maidservant and his tooth fall off, he shall let him go free. In other words, he can no longer keep him, even after he would have treated the servant for the damage, the hurt that came, right? The thought here is that there must be adequate compensation. But what is adequate? So here the Word of God shows us what is adequate. Right? The master is to let him go free. Why? Because he has not been treating the man servant or the maid servant well. Right? So here you see the law of God applied to us to show us what we ought to do. Verse 28. Now we move on, or we go on to observe how animals cause death, unruly animal. And if you were to look at our law today, it is classified under public law, under the section under criminal law and crime against persons. Crimes against persons. And it's classified under assault. Assault. Verse 28. If an ox gore a man or woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten by the owner. But the owner of the ox shall be quit. So here, if the ox were to hurt someone, the ox would have to be stoned. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in the time past, in other words, this is not the first time that the ox is behaving in an unruly manner, and the owner knows that this ox behaves in an unruly manner and does not restrain the ox, then you would see that the person is culpable, right? Culpable, and there is a penalty for that. Verse 29. And if the ox were wont to push with the horn in time past, and it had been testified to his owner, and he had not kept him in, but that he had killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner shall also be put to death. So here you see the compensation that is to be meted out, right, for such a situation when a person is hurt by an animal that belongs to someone. You would notice here that there is indeed a law that God gives in order to ensure that the crime that is done is adequately accounted for. And so, in the Old Testament law, you realize that this Old Testament laws are classified in the modern legal system. And this section, as we said, is related to public law, and it's called courts and legal procedure. And here there is a subdivision there called damages, and the subdivision for for maiming a person, right, for causing hurt to a person. And you see, why is it that God is concerned about an animal being let loose and causing problem to the people around? Well, here you realize that it's culpable. There is a responsibility that a person has towards things that belongs to him, and if it causes a public nuisance, a public hurt then that person has that responsibility to make good the damage that was done. So verse 29, but if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. So the owner has to pay for it with his own life. And if there be money laid on him, a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. So he can compensate, right, by paying a certain amount for it. So here our text tells us, and the commentator Spence commented well, he says, upon a first offense of such a matter, if the ox of a man killed a man or a woman and they died, the ox was to be destroyed and his flesh not eaten, but the owners of the ox shall be quit. A second offense of the same kind would include death of the owner. And this is where we see in verse 28 and 29. And in that situation, he further commented, a second offense of the same kind would include the death of the owner, verse 28 and 29. However, since it is not an intentional crime, but came as a result of carelessness, the owner was allowed to redeem his forfeited life by paying all that was necessary in the judgment of the judge. So instead of losing his life, he can do so by compensating as the judge required. So it was not an intentional crime, but a result of carelessness, right? Didn't tie up the ox. So the Lord wants us to understand and know, then he shall give for the ransom for his life whatsoever is laid on him. The death of a son or daughter through the goring of an ox was also to be compensated by the payment of 30 shekels of silver on the part of the owner of the ox. So verse 30, 31 says, whether he have got a son or have got a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto the masters 30 shekels of silver. That's the price of a slave. And the ox shall be stoned. So here, we say the ox was to be killed in this case also. It is also noted in passing that his price was probably the usual price for the redemption of a slave. The redemption price of a free Israelite was 50 shekels. Leviticus 27 verse 3. Jesus was sold for such a price, considered a slave. And this section is closed with a thought that we are reminded that there are no laws known to us in our time that includes as much care and consideration as we view in these stipulations. So as you think about God's law, the principles that are involved, how they are incorporated in our modern law system, right, we see God's attitude, love and respect for life that is above that which man considers in his laws. So if we learn God's laws, then we will learn what is just and equitable in the sight of God. Because at the end, God is going to judge a people, a nation. Wherever you are, whatever age you may be in, these are the same infallible laws of God that binds the entire universe. And we thank the Lord that it is from Him that we learn the moral laws. isn't it? The Ten Commandments. If He didn't give us the moral laws, we wouldn't know. As what we have learned in 1445 BC, when God spoke to Moses face to face and He writes it with the finger of His hand in two tablets of stone that is given to Moses. But the truth is this, that before God gave the laws to Moses, these are the same laws that are binding in the sight of God and men, whether we like it or not, you see. So if we do not follow, we do not implement, do what, that which is right in the sight of God, well, we are culpable, isn't it? And so here, the Lord wants us to think and consider what His good laws teaches us. In the case of a manservant or a maidservant, it was to be compensated. Right? Compensated. And so here, and in verse 35 and 36, you would see an animal killing an animal. And if a man's ox hurt another's, that he die, then he shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also shall be divided. Or if it be known that the ox has used to push in time past and its owner has not kept it in, kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. And so here we are taught and we are told, even in the minutest situation, right? Animal with animal, God is concerned. So if you have been bitten by a dog and the owner didn't restrain, who's at fault? Well, we understand, isn't it? We understand the principle. Right? It may not be intentional, but due to carelessness, right, the owner did not hold the lash, so it hurt someone. Then you realize that if you are the dog owner, then you have to take that responsibility to make good, isn't it? For the person who was hurt, right? You may not cause hurt intentionally, but in a situation where we can be careless, but that doesn't we cannot escape, right, from that responsibility. So as you study this law, you realize that the Lord wants us to learn and know. Right, then 33 and 34, you would also notice a different situation. Here, a man digs a pit and he did not cover it, and someone else's animal fell into it and died. Right. Here, he has to make good and give money unto the owner of them, that the dead beast shall be his. So here, you see a situation whereby a man dig a hole, right, and was not responsible enough, and it was in the way of the neighbor's animal, and here he has a responsibility towards the neighbor for the animal that was lost. So you see here, the Lord shows us and teaches us His wisdom concerning how a society can be ordered well. And we thank God for His good laws. And may we learn the good principles that He sought to teach us, so that we may indeed do His good will and find His blessing. Amen.